Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Redmen TV. I am Bailey Shaw. To my right, your left, is the lovely Ross Charnley. And we're here to talk about Liverpool beating Porto in a game that I half remember because it's sort of merged with a game that's going to go down in history for a couple
of clubs. I don't know what you're talking about, Bailey. I watched every second of that Liverpool game.
Did you really, Ross?
Nope.
Well, I'm buzzing with the result, but I feel like it's only half Liverpool's fault.
Yeah, it was a mad one. First half, you know, Porto came out as we expected them to do.
Yeah.
But they didn't really have a choice. But, you know, it was back to the wall and we were on the ropes for a lot in the first half of, you know, the parts that I do remember.
Yeah.
But it's another sign of our mentality. We've been able to kind of weather a storm. I know we rode our luck at times. There's no denying that. But, you know, coming back to mentality again for me, we weren't beaten. We weren't like, oh crap, this is whatever. And it was always going to take that one goal. And yeah. Just to shut them down, really, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. I think it was a classic case of we didn't really need to get out of first gear, and we didn't. We did the job anyway, and I think we were saying, you know, we were under the cosh, and I said, sort of half jinxing it, if this striker was half as good of a striker as sort of the pundits are saying, like, oh, he's had 6-6 before this game, we'd be in trouble. But they had a lot of chances and nothing was going their way, and I wasn't that worried. I always felt quite comfortable in the game, and I knew we get one, then I think it's all ours.
Yeah, it's difficult to come across as cocky or arrogant, but it's taken since the Chelsea game for me to stop worrying about Liverpool's performances and being able to soak up that pressure.
Yeah.
First of all, we've won our first European away of the season because we'd lost the previous three.
Yeah.
That was never in the back of my mind at this point. It was kind of, okay, we've got a job to do. You know, we've shown levels of professionalism. We can defend as a unit when we need to.
And
you know, I thought we did that. You know, we still rotated a couple of players in. You know, you drop Bobby out of that team and you lose a lot. You know, we always talk about so many facets of his game. And I think one of them he doesn't really get recognised, or certainly by me, and other people might do it, is a hold-up play.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about his link-up play and stuff, but sometimes he can just, like, run deep, hold the ball for 5 seconds, and we weren't doing that. You know, we seemed hurried in possession and we were giving away sloppy passes. This is first half I'm talking about. You know, I don't think it was nerves. It was just, you know, Porto had to come out and play, and they put us under pressure. Fair play to him. You know, there's this perception of, you know, we twatted them 5-0 as the song goes last season, therefore it'll be the same again. And it's not, you know, they've got some really good players in there. Edin Militao really impressed me. The guy on the winger, the ball guy on the winger, I can't remember his name.
I'm not sure.
Because we essentially watched 2 games at once. There was a lot going on. But, you know, again, they've got outlets and they did put us under pressure. They kind of targeted Trent, who, again, you know, who's just come off the back of, you know, having Eden Hazard running at him. He's going to get beat sometimes. You know, you remember, he's 20 years old. It happened. And Robertson, again, you know, because of the way we play, we push them up forward. There's going to be times where they get beaten. You know, Porto could have, but probably should have scored, actually. You know, we were a bit of a mess at times. Rode our luck, but again, you know, it's concentrate, we've got a job to do, crack on. And, you know, when we did get our first shot on target, we scored.
We did. Before we talk about the goals, I just want to take you back, obviously, before the game and the lineup came out.
Remember?
No, I know. When the lineup first comes out, and obviously there's a few changes, and Divock Origi comes up front for Firmino, as you said. Obviously, you said about Chelsea, you're not really asked about sort of who we play anymore. Was that your take on it? Were you sort of like, whatever team Klopp puts out now, I've got complete faith in it that we'll get
a job? Yeah, I think we should all learn from that. I know. We always joke about, you know, the social media meltdown and stuff, and I've got to the point where I obviously stopped checking it. But, you know, Adam Lallana was the pinnacle of that. You know, when he came against Burnley, everyone lost the Reds, and they actually went, oh, we should start next week or the next game or midweek game or whatever it was. you know, Jurgen Klopp knows what he's doing. Okay, you have people that are out of form or they're injured, or, you know, I think you can always have a player that you kind of like don't fancy, which is fine, but we don't see them in training week in, week out. So when someone comes out, it's Divock Origi. And to be fair to him, he's shown he's never going to match the standards of Mane or Salah, but he comes on and he does a job. I felt sorry for him today because he was persistent in his play, but he wasn't getting any change out of the defenders.
Yeah.
But again, the mentality thing I'll come back to, and I'm banging on about it now. He carried on. He didn't give up. He didn't go, oh, fuck, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'll try something different. Okay, he switched inside, but we put Mane out left it at one point. But, you know, this is a man where I thought he wouldn't ever play for Liverpool again. He went to Wolfsburg on loan. Didn't work out for him, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his attitude is to go, I want to come back and I want to prove myself in this team. And you're thinking, someone a couple of months ago, you think I wouldn't get anywhere near this team. You know, if he starts or he comes off the bench, fine.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. And this was his first European game since that Dortmund game, you know, that he was so instrumental in that winning. And it's so testament now that I think that I'm never ever going to sort of doubt the lineup that we put out now. You know, Naby Keita comes in the team out of the blue, completely, like, after not playing, sort of having any run of form in the team whatsoever, comes in and does brilliantly. Jordan Henderson comes in, obviously, against Southampton and revitalises himself in that sort of number 8 forward / number 10 role. Gets another assist tonight. You know, this season just hasn't ceased to amaze me, and it's sort of like this is the last hurrah now for all of these players to come in and say, I want to be part of this team. I want to be part of this team that's challenging on two fronts, and I want to be part of it next season when we're inevitably going to build on the success that we're going to have this season. And it's really telling to me, and it's really nice to me that sort of all of these guys that were forgotten men 6 or 7 months ago, you know, Naby Keita included, the amount of how much we spent for him. So it was really nice to sort of see that it's all working out in the end. But anyway, talking back to the first goal, it took a while to come.
Oh, hang on.
What's that?
VAR, right, yeah, go on.
So I've got...
Just
going to have to cut that, but we can talk about that. What is your honest opinion of VAR after seeing that?
VAR is not the problem. It's the referees, or, you know, VAR is essentially just the replay system.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, you can watch a replay 3-4 times and you can kind of go, okay, sound. The Mane one might have been close, but I don't see the point in having someone in the studio to essentially do the referee's job, who you should trust, who's kind of part of that refereeing team, to say, yes, that was a goal, yes, that wasn't a goal, yes, that was offside, blah, blah, blah. To then sit there for 2 minutes and go, I'm going to check it, and then it's the emotion thing for me. I know it's worked in our favour this time, because obviously we scored a goal, but you celebrate a goal and then you stop and you go, okay, what's going on
just
then?
It just dies away, doesn't it?
Yeah, it dies away, and then you go, okay, now the referee's going to go and check it. The referee's watching it. We've all seen it like 15 times, gone, it's not offside or whatever. Okay, it's a goal, and then because it's not a natural thing when you're watching a goal, you can't, okay, you celebrate, but you don't have the same celebration as you would do just watching it off the back of a normal goal. Okay, it's about the result at the end of the day, and it helps you, and you have decisions that will... Well, happens to the opposition, and they'll get the goal, as we saw with Spurs. But yeah, it just takes the emotion away from me, and I'm right. But you know, it's an honest thing. You know, it was the correct decision in the end. Yeah. I suppose that's the important thing. But I don't see the point in implementing it when, you know, are the referees not trained up on it of what they're supposed to do, or they don't trust the staff in the team to say yes or no? What's the point in having the other person there? You may as well just send the referee to come watch it and go, I'll check it.
Yeah.
Or when the referee's waiting for him to do it, go and stand by the TV just in case he says go and check it. Don't stand in the middle of the pitch and then go,
take another 2 minutes to get over there.
Let me go run over there and go and check it.
No, I completely agree, but I'm in two minds with VAR, because part of me is like, I get quite excited, like I'm like, ooh, because like, I've seen it in dribs and drabs here and there.
Yeah, but
the
if the first, like, Anfield was 0-0 and you're sat there and you're going, it's not like we joked about it because you're going, because we were 2-0 up. But you wouldn't do it was on the other end.
And obviously, the City Spurs game, obviously, that was City's last try of the game. Raheem Sterling gets his would-have-been hat-trick to win the game and puts City into the semi-finals. And obviously, it gets ruled off for an offside goal. So that's where I'm looking at that and thinking, right, that's fairly judged. Otherwise, you would have robbed Spurs of their chance to get to the first Champions League semi-final. And the justice is done there. Obviously, it's nice that City didn't get through, obviously, which is great. But it's the justice part of it for me, and I think that's why VAR's there, and I completely agree. I think that there's parts of the game that...
It's good, it's just the timing.
It's the timing, and it's still very, very rough around the edges for something that's going to be implemented in the Premier League next season, and it's sort of, it's very... he's sure? Like, do you not think it's going to be too soon? Is it going to become very tiresome? Because I think that's why I get excited, because I've seen it in little pockets and I thought, oh, this is different. But when it's going to be every single week, it's going to become a big drag. But bottom line is, we got the goal, got the ball rolling. Like I say, that set the aggregate up to 3-0. It was a mountain sort of before we even scored the goal, but that was the nail in the coffin. And we could have just sat, you know, stayed in first gear, but we kicked on, and Trent Alexander-Arnold passes absolutely sublime ball into Mamatella, who slots it near post.
Do you know what the thing with it is? And I think we spoke about this in one of the shows last week, was we didn't play it today, but you know, the kind of the Brexit midfield thing, yeah. And people don't like it, you know. We create so many goals from using Trent and Robbo, yeah. It's ridiculous. And yeah. a few people suggested putting him in midfield, just yeah. let him play out there, because some of the balls, like, you know, 9 out of 10 times he'll reach Salah. Like, I love his little scooped one where he kind of scoops it and bends it round to Salah, but you know, it's just pinpoint crossing. It's, you know, it's brilliant, you know. Mo's in the right place, good run,
yeah.
And tidy finish. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we were playing the likes of United and Everton, he wasn't putting him away, but you know, we slotted it home.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And that, the whole rhetoric about, you know, Trent Alexander should be in the midfield, I couldn't disagree more. You know, I love this evolved Liverpool where the midfield wasn't working because we lost Oxlade-Chamberlain, we've relied heavily on our fullbacks, and they've done wonders. You know, that's what, 7 assists for Trent Alexander-Arnold in the Premier League, 3 in the Champions League. I think he's got a couple of goals as well. Like, what more do you want from a guy who's playing right back of all positions at 20 years old? Like, there are not enough superlatives to describe how good of a season Trent Alexander-Arnold's had.
And he's only going to get better.
Yeah, exactly. It's an absolute joy to watch him play, but the third goal, you know...
I don't remember.
No.
Too many goals.
Honestly, it's the best experience watching two games at once, especially when it's an exciting game like City Spurs. But if you've got to do it for a job to talk about Liverpool, don't watch two games at the same time. But from what I remember, Bobby Firmino, obviously, is a header. I think
that's the one.
Whips the ball in. Yeah. And Firmino nods it home for the third.
Again, it comes back to that quality and development of plays. You know, Jordan Henderson's another one that we mentioned before. Those people that, you know...
That's 3 assists, 1 goal.
Yeah, lambasted by fans for doing his job, basically, which isn't a pretty job. And he comes on, you know, he's just a man possessed. That's what he's been for the past 3 weeks since he's been in that number 8 role. He's just gone taking the game by the scruff of the neck and going, actually, no, carry on. And like you said, you know, we're basically through anyway. Mm. So, but then it's had that mentality going, actually, no, let's just carry on. Let's just put this to bed. And, you know, it's a winning mentality for
me. I just love that we can just trash teams out in first gear. Like, it's such... Teams must absolutely hate
playing against
Liverpool.
At this point last season, you know, at this stage, well, in the Champions League and the league, you know, we basically had 3 midfielders.
Yeah.
Now you're going, well, we've rested Katie tonight. We brought Jordan Henderson off the bench last season. Was there, you know, towards the end was Genie, Milner and Hendo, who played basically every game.
Yeah.
It's going to be better for us towards the end of the season of, you know, chances of winning games and keeping people fresh, keeping the opposition guessing who we're going to play and what we do.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. And it's lovely to see Jordan Henderson get another assist. If you want more Henderson content, you obviously did a podcast earlier in the week, the Henderson Loving. So if you want some more of that good Henderson chat, check that out. But what's better than completing a perfect front 3 trifecta of goals and Virgil van Dijk getting at it? Paul called it in the game. You'll see in the story of the match. It's like, we just need a Virgil goal here. And as he says it, Virgil nods one home from a corner. Mane flicks it on. What an end to a game.
He just did exactly as the song said, doesn't he? You know, defending sometimes, you know.
Literally,
It's still in awe of him. I'm just watching him every game going... It's sound. He's got this, you know. Even his positioning, where he's just like got a man. He can like just control people, or you know, he can put the burners on if he needs to. If I don't know, just put it in my player ratings. Why do you bother? If you're an attacker, what do you do? You can't beat him in the air. Yeah. You can't go round him. You can't shove him off the ball. Like, just at the best, give him a cuddle and go home and tell your family that you've had a cuddle with Van Dijk. That's all you can do.
Do a Troy Deeney, get close to him so you can tell him that he smells nice. Yeah, I think that's the best thing you can do. If you can't compliment him on his football ability, just tell him he smells
nice. But then again, you know, I know we were in complete control of that game at that point anyway. You know, all the teams might just say, do you know what, just stay back because they're going to hit us on the counter. Because to be fair to Porto, they didn't give up. You know, they kept going, they kept going.
Yeah.
And we're like, now we're just going to stick our best defender and score another goal. Cheers, thanks.
Yeah, no, exactly. And obviously they got a goal, but were you worried at all when they scored?
No.
I think it was pretty much done and dusted, sort of. Like I said, from the first leg, I felt like we were in control, and obviously even when we drew Porto, I felt it was comfortable. But obviously you can't write off your opposition. But I think, God, watching that game, like that 6-1, I don't think we thought we were ever going to 5-0 them again. You know, and we've just beat them 6-1 on aggregate. And whilst I agree that we were shaky in that first half, you know, we were nowhere, but far and away our best. And there's definitely elements to work on, but Barcelona next.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, that first half, particularly with Porto, the way they came out, you know, you're going to get punished by the likes of Messi and
yeah,
Suarez.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, that's something to scrub on, but, you know, sound. I said the mentality thing of not giving up and being resolute. We've shown this in numerous games, and then just to go and put it to bed is another, you know, another side to our game at the minute.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. And it's just, yeah, like,
whilst trying to watch a Man City game that was bananas.
Yeah, my head is absolutely battered. Like, it was fully trying to write an agenda. I was saying to Chris, like, who scored? Yeah. Was it Son had a good game, I think? But honestly, this was a pleasure as always, Ross. And we've got loads and loads more post-match content coming out on the YouTube channel. We've got loads coming out tomorrow on the RedmenTV.com. We've got the Final Word, the Man of the Match, the Stats and Tactics show. Anything you want, anything you need, that's anything Porto, Liverpool related, you've got it. We'll give it to you in spades. So thank you very much, Ross, for joining me. It was a pleasure. And we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.